Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We hope you are having a great day. Start of training camp starts tomorrow. Guys report to camp, and then Thursday practices, Friday practices. We will be live, and this is the only radio station that will be there every day, bringing you all of the latest, the best interviews, and all of the information in regards to our Falcons. This hour, by the way, is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Mike, as we embark and get ready for another training camp, we'll talk more about the excitement and the challenges for Coach Raheem Morris and his staff. But as we were talking about the Braves, and if you're just joining us, they lose last night. Nacho Alvarez did start. He did not get a hit, but he said, listen, I got some good swings. But I think we're just more concerned about the guys that we've not been getting production from all season.
No, man. Look, Austin Riley has turned a bit of a corner last night. He had to leave a very dramatic moment, leave the game, found out that his wife's bun in the oven was ready to go. So he had to come off. At the time, if you were at the ballpark, you're like, what's going on? Don't tell me he's hurt. But, you know, you don't know when Ozzie's coming back. They're saying when the playoffs began. That's the best optimistic view on that. But, look, Olsen ain't hitting. Nope. You know, Riley is finally now, he's heated up, as we talked with Grant, as right before and after the All-Star break, but you just not get it. We talked about Murph. He's a 200 hitter. You know, I mean, the outfield, you're just trying to cobble it together right now. Duvall, you know, third time has not been the charm with Duvall as far as consistency. So it's just, can you find a two or three guys like you did in 21? Look, guys, you realize how you threaded that needle? I mean, that's a freaking bullseye from 20 feet on a dartboard that Alex pulled off in 21. You do that again?
I don't think so, Mike. I just don't. And I don't think they want to. I'm not telling you they're not trying to get better, because that would be unfair to say. But I also think right now they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. You've got all these escalating contracts, guys. You think about going out and you're going to tell me they're going to spend an exorbitant amount of money to bring in guys that can help you only for this season. It's just not going to happen that way. I think they may add a player, but it's not going to be like it was in 21. That's where I'm at. 404-726-0929. We'll talk more about tonight's matchup, Sail on the Hill, and what the Braves can do as we'll look forward to this homestand continuing. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Well, the SEC had their media days, and we heard from Kirby, and we talked a lot about it and all the stuff that was going on. And now the ACC is having their media days. Now, today, the Big Ten kicked off theirs, which Big O talked about in Yeah Man, No Man, where Ohio State's Ryan Day talked about, you know, embracing the challenge, et cetera, et cetera. But, Mike, we had Brent Key on the show yesterday, and before we get to Brent Key, I want you to hear Jim Phillips. This is the commissioner of the ACC talking about Clemson and Florida State suing and trying to get out of the conference, or at least that's the perception, right? Why else would you do all this? Jim Phillips basically said, we'll do everything we can to keep this thing together.
With multiple ongoing legal cases, there are limits to what I can say, but I can state that we will fight to protect the ACC and our members for as long as it takes. We are confident in this league and that it will remain a premier conference in college athletics for the long-term future.
It's the contract. It's the ESPN TV contract. That's the sticking point. The Big 12 escalates their contract to where next year, starting the 25 season, everybody in the Big 12 will be making $31 million per team. And the ACC will still be making $17 million per team. That's a $14 million shortfall.
Double.
I mean, it's bad. Now, eventually, the back end of the ESPN deal does get some escalators, but, you know, that 2032, as you say, where are you going to be tomorrow? So that's why FSU has been, first things first, trying to get their hands on the contract to see what it actually says, which kind of surprised me. And Clemson is kind of like being passive-aggressive. See, the other one is Carolina. I keep reading about North Carolina is kind of like, my name is Paul, and that's between y'all. But
they're watching.
But if you do find a way to get us out of this cockamamie contract, we'll probably jet too. And the Big Ten sounds pretty good for us. So we'll see. I know that a lot. We've been talking about this now for almost 18 months. I just know that if you're the ACC, you've made a move to bring in like a bunch of guys. It's like nothing special. SMU, you hope that they get some traction, but no one cares about Cal and Stanford.
Okay, and listen, this is just the football person in me. I like the ACC. I like what it is.
Right.
I like the teams in the ACC. Now, I don't like necessarily the teams they added, but just fundamentally speaking, from a regional standpoint, okay, this sucks. And this is a money grab because they can, and if they get out, and I think they will, Mike. Now, somebody's going to cut a big check. Somebody's going to have to pay. But eventually what you're talking about is the demise, again, of one of the premier college football conferences in the country, and that sucks. I don't like that.
Right.
I like the fact that the SEC knows exactly who they are, and they're not going anywhere. I like the fact that the Big Ten knows exactly who they are, and they're not going anywhere. The Pac-12 was late to the party. They didn't have any vision or forward thinking to think about where this was going.
Musical chairs.
They could have kept their conference together, and it would have been great for folks on the West Coast who love those teams. But I hate, Mike, that we're here talking about the demise potentially, because I've said this. If they get out, it's only a matter of time that everybody just starts to scatter to figure out where they're going to go. And my thing is this. You got to have a landing spot. If you don't have a landing spot, this is all for naught. This is not making any sense if you don't know exactly where you're going. Texas and Oklahoma knew exactly what they were going, where they were going and what they were doing. I don't feel that way about Clemson and Florida State.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the Big Ten kind of makes it – look, it is what it is. The Big Ten kind of looks down at knows it everybody. They've always been an elitist conference about the academic standards and how – but I would think that North Carolina – see, that to me, that's a culture fit.
Yep.
If Georgia Tech – in Atlanta for the Big Ten, that's a culture fit, right? It provided the Brent Key keeps the thing on the trajectory going onwards and upwards, right? The problem with the ACC, to your point, and it does suck, is Clemson got their stuff together. Dabo beat Alabama twice, two natties. And in the meantime, Miami's going nowhere. Florida State went through the Taggart debacle after Jimbo left. You know, you get other schools like, you know, Virginia Tech, they're mediocre.
They should be great.
Louisville's had, you know, rise and fall. But no, when they built those divisions, now, of course, divisions are out the window. But it was supposed to be Miami playing Florida State or Clemson every year. And it just didn't pan out. And that's where the conference devaluing of it. And then just real quick as a follow up, then they do stuff that kind of makes you go, what are you doing? A lot of folks around the country, this has got to become like a meme, saying it's kind of dumb to put this banner up at the ACC Media Days, toughest non-conference schedule in the country. In other words,
really?
You're basically telling people that you're bragging about something that doesn't actually have to do with your conference. The Notre Dame thing. You couldn't convince Notre Dame to come in. They've got their own TV. We joke around. You and I call it just the tip.
Just the
for
tip.
Notre Dame, everything other sport except for football. So anyway, the point I'm getting to is the teams, at the end of the day, Carl, the ACC is where it is because the quality of the football programs hasn't been good enough. There's no big mystery here. You know, Boston College, and every once in a while, Wake will have a good team, put a guy in the NFL, but there's not the consistent level from the bell cow teams like Miami, like Florida State, other than Clemson.
Let's hear from one ACC coach, and that's Brent Key. He is a friend of the show. We think he's going to do a great job. He does have his own challenges at Georgia Tech. But, Mike, he may have the best quarterback in the ACC in Haynes King, and he pretty much said that yesterday.
Yeah, well, if you just look at the improvement last year that he'd made from the season prior, and now you've got a chance for this guy has been around these guys for a year. He knows the team. He knows his teammates. He knows the system. And now be able to take that next step here at Georgia Tech. I'm expecting a huge year for him, expecting a lot of success, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him on a lot of lists at the end of the year.
Oren, let's real quick play the one about recruiting. But, Mike, Haynes King, I think that's what gives them the advantage against Florida State to start the season in Dublin. How the season plays out, if he keeps them in games, it's going to be about whether they can get stops on defense. But I'm with Coach on this. This kid was really good last year.
Right, and I think he got better and better in the offense, and I think you're right. Like, Georgia Tech's got to stop. It's funny. I love Brent Key because he reminds me of O'Leary. Well, O'Leary's teams under Ted Rufo, they do play a lot of great defense in the old days. A lot of dial-up scores, Oren, back in the day. So you don't want to repeat that side of it, but I'm with you. I just think Haynes King, if he can dial it in, DJ Uiagalelei, very classy move, said, look, I wasn't part of the championship squad last year for the ACC. Let's send other guys to the media days. Probably realize what a big bore those media days. is, but he bailed. A lot of folks are saying the best quarterback in the ACC is Cam Ward.
I know. Miami.
At Miami.
Miami.
And he's kind of like, you know, look, I don't know what he's going to be, but Miami, sooner or later, that worm has to turn for them as well, despite some of those crazy coaching decisions that they seem to make every year.
One other thing, and coming up, we're going to talk some more college football with a friend of the show, Mike Lutzenkirk, and his event is coming up here in 2 weeks. We'll tell you more about that. But Brinke was talking about, Mike, recruiting the state. This has been, again, I think he's got a good class coming in. And if he can continue this and keep this going, this is what turns the situation for Georgia Tech.
Well, number one was putting together staff and that has experience. They have deep relationships in the state of Georgia. And when I say staff, I'm not just talking about the 10 coaches. I'm talking about the support staff, other people in the organization, longtime high school coaches. I mean, some of the legendary high school coaches in the state. And then it comes with building relationships. And look, you can say you're going to recruit your state and your hometown all you want, but going by once a year during recruiting time, that's not recruiting. It's about building relationships.
I'm with him. And I think, those events that they've done at Bobby Dodd this last summer, having all these camps, having all like multiple big time high schools, Carl, coming in to get kids familiar with the program. That's part of it. We talked so much about what didn't happen in the previous coaching regime, just a lot of hot air and nothing got accomplished. That goes back to our conversation about the ACC. Georgia Tech needs to raise their game. I think they are.
I
think Brent Key will not get beat by stuff they shouldn't get beat by. If you're going to get beat, maybe because the other team's got better athletes, but you're not going to shoot yourself in the foot.
There it is. You can't make those silly mistakes. You know what? And Mike, there it is. You got to win the games you're supposed to win. That's the thing.
And that's the Georgia Tech, not Brent, previous regime, not doing enough of that.
All right, guys, we got more to get to. Friend of the show, Mike Lutzenkirk, is going to stop by. You don't know his story? Don't know his son's story? Stay there because you need to hear it, and you need to hear how you can give back. Right now, though, we're giving to you a 4-pack of tickets with club and field-level patio access to the Atlanta Falcons open practice Friday, August 2nd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's all about you and brought to you by the Georgia Lottery, guys. Download the Georgia Lottery app today wherever you can on whatever device you have it. Play, have fun. Georgia Lottery brings you these 4-pack of tickets. All right, 404-726-0929. We're going to give them right now to caller number 7. You are going to be at that practice and hanging out on the field. All right, we're coming back. Mike Lutzenkirk next. We like to give back to this community, and sometimes it intertwines with college football or the NFL or the NBA. And a friend of the show, Mike Lutzenkirk, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Lutzy 43 Road Race is going to happen August 3rd. It's over at Lassiter High School, and we've been doing this for, I think it's 10 years now. Is this the 10th one, Mike?
10th anniversary, Carl. It's hard to believe.
It is, man. Well, thank you so much for being here. Mike doesn't assume that everybody knows the story, so I'd like for you to tell it for our listeners, and then let's talk about the race, and then we want to talk some football with you. But talk about why you started Lutzy 43.
Yeah, well, first of all, guys, over the last 10 years, thank you for the support. We're very proud that most foundations that are founded in the way we were founded don't survive past year 5, and it's been 10 years. But to the audience, kids went to Lassiter High School. Philip was my only boy out of four kids, three daughters. He went on to Auburn University, played there from 09 to 12. Key member of the 2010 National Championship team as a sophomore, went on to become a two-time captain. Some injuries cut his NFL career short to one preseason. I was working in Montgomery, Alabama, the summer of 14, and unfortunately, we lost him as a passenger in the back seat of a single vehicle crash that also took the life of the driver. And when you look back on it, there's just too many of the mistakes that are being made on our roads today. Drunk driving, distracted, speeding, driving well after midnight, and not wearing seatbelts. So we started the Lutzy 43 Foundation to honor Philip and see if we can save some lives out on our roadways.
And I think now more than ever, distracted driving, I think that's probably the number one, especially for young people. And I think that's the message, Mike, that the organization is trying to get through. I think we've all made some bad decisions behind the wheel. We can all do better there. But how do you get folks to pay attention to the message?
Yeah, it's a challenge, Mike, to be honest with you. And your audience being sports-minded, what's going on in UGA football. And for people who don't know Kirby, I know he's just railing those kids to make better decisions. Mm-hmm. And that goes beyond distracted driving. That's the access to these cars these kids are getting because of NIL and transfer portal and incentives. And again, you wouldn't know that July 1st of 2018, Georgia was one of the leading states to sign a hands-free law with the number of people that continue to drive distracted, super speeding. And the one that really gets me, guys, quite frankly, is 61% of roadway fatalities, when they look into it and do the research, somebody wasn't wearing a seatbelt. You think about how long we've had seatbelts and penalties and so forth. We're beyond the penalty phase. It's a life-saving phase, yet we just have still too many deaths on our roadways. And we're just constantly knocking on doors from high school to colleges to corporations. We've got an unbelievable partnership in Georgia with the Georgia Department of Transportation and believe we're making a difference.
Mike speaks all over the country. Guys, again, the road race is Saturday, August 3rd. And you can participate, and you can register now and be a part of it. And it's fun, man. People show up and in the spirit. And I think, you know, whether you do it live or you go virtually, which is something actually that started during the pandemic, right, Mike, where you can still run virtually and still be a part of this.
Yeah, it's great, Carl. It's funny. You know, we get people that say, Mike, I'm busy on August 3rd. We just, one of the things we're proud of, we just awarded 17 more. We call it the PFL Scholarship. It stands for Prepared for Life. For our family, it's Philip Francis Lutzenkirchen, but we've now awarded 114 scholarships over the years, totaling $480,000+. And a lot of these kids will be heading off to a college campus by August 3rd, and they say, hey, I'm busy. I'm like, well, you can run virtually. Sign up for the race. We're going to send you a shirt. You can join us and promote the cause no matter where you're at, anywhere in the United States. And in fact, my sister-in-law, who just retired, is a head women's basketball coach down at the University of Miami. She's got a group that's going to run at the Olympics. So
Wow. There's
no excuses not to walk, run, and support what we're doing.
It is a Mike Lutzenkirchen with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline, honoring the memory of his son, Philip, talking about, again, 43. And I love the website, too, the 43 key seconds we've talked about. And this is something, no joke, I've learned this, too, Mike, through my anger management when I get behind the wheel, is having a clear head before you go anywhere, whether it's going down to pick up some milk at the grocery store or making a long road trip.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, Mike. You know, I've got to be simple. I'm not the brightest guy in the world. And you look at things, we all, behavioral triggers that really of all of our senses between sight and taste and sound and touch, what we see triggers the most instant behavior. And we don't have a symbol across the country where you would look at it. Anybody in your listening audience and well beyond it would look at it and say, yep, that's the image that I see that triggers to me to be a safer and smarter driver. You know, everybody knows a golden M is McDonald's. People see a pink ribbon, they associate it with breast cancer awareness. We think the 43 key second, that 43 on a key, everybody knows what a key is. If we do this right and we continue to pound the doors and put the message out there, that can be the symbol. But it basically states no matter who you are, where you're at, what you're driving, what time of day are you experiencing, ask yourself, do I have a clear head, clear hands, clear eyes? And then we tie into the 20-year program of click it or ticket by saying click it. And we're, you know, people ask me all the time, Mike, how do you know it's working? I say, well, one thing that's difficult is to track something that doesn't occur. But we get feedback from high school kids all the way from corporations that are supporting what we're doing and saying, Mike, we just had another driver say they no longer super speeders. They're always wearing a seatbelt now. They're not reading texts or emails on their phones. So we're making a difference.
That you are. Mike, I want to talk a little football with you. And by the way, before we do, give the website where people can register for the race and learn more about the foundation.
Got it. If you can join us at Lassiter High School, you can sign up as late as 7:45 a.m. on Saturday, August 3rd. We're going to start at 8 o'clock with the run, but go to Lutzie43.org. Right on that homepage, you'll see the ability to find out more about what we're doing, but importantly, right now, sign up for that race.
Yeah, and by the way, for those, Mike and I are neighbors, but those who don't know, Lutzie Field at Lassiter High School is named after Philip, obviously. So if you ever go over there or wonder what that is about, that's the deal. Let's talk some football. Let's talk about Auburn real quick. Hugh Freeze, Mike and I were talking about SEC Media Days. Just curious, what's the vibe? What's the from the fan base? What are you hearing?
First of all, I need to state I'm not in that program, but I've got plenty of people I know over there. I'm excited about Auburn football. The thing that concerns me is you got to be big in the trenches in the SEC. I'm not sure we are where we're at. Need to be offensive line, defensive line, and edge rushing. But I'll tell you what, I'm a big fan of Peyton Thorne. I'm biased. He grew up in Wheaton, Illinois. That's where I'm from. I played for his grandfather in high school.
His
father, Jeff, was a hell of a quarterback at Eastern Illinois University and a great coach. Peyton's now in the system for a year, and they've loaded up that wide receiver room. We got one of the best tight ends coming back in the country. a couple five-star wideouts, but again, I'll caution, they're freshmen. But I'm excited. I'm a little nervous that you start with five games at home, but one of those is Oklahoma, and if we can come out of that 5-0, that tough part of the schedule that will come up, I think we're going to handle it and surprise some people.
Yeah, man, it seems like, you know, one thing that Freeze always did well is recruit, and that's the lifeblood, especially in the SEC. Seems like that's going the way it needs to go.
I think so, Mike. I think we're really up on the skill positions now, and we've got to get some more size and depth. But, I mean, what a league, right? Yeah, Texas and Oklahoma. I don't know. The Auburn fan base thinks you should compete with the national championship. We might have a little reprieve on the other side of the state right now. I know Coach DeBoer's got his hands full of replacing a legend, but all we talk about is college football, you know, 365 days a year, and I'm excited about the SEC. I'm not so excited about NIL and transfer portal. I think that's a mess, but there's a chance to fix it. So that's the good thing about the leaders right now. They've identified the problem. Let's see if they can fix it.
I got to tell you, Mike, before we let you go, I'm enjoying Saban on TV. I know you have a great relationship with Coach. You think he's going to be really good on TV? I mean, from what I've seen so far, I've enjoyed.
Yeah, again, these guys are, Carl, you and I've talked, their DNA is different. They're wired differently.
It is.
Nick, I'd be on a boat down in the Gulf at a certain
right.
place or
right.
on a lake, but he wants to be out there, and I don't know. It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a tough time. Maybe not being pro-Bama and pro-SEC when you're on that desk for ESPN game day, but I think he's going to be very entertaining. There's nobody more qualified to share an opinion on college football.
Right on. Once again, guys, go to Lutze43.org. And again, it's a week from Saturday over at Lassiter, right, Carl?
That is right.
August 3rd, and you guys can get involved. Or as Mike said, you can even get involved on remote.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Again, congratulations on all the success. And again, Mike talks to all these programs around the country. And they are making a difference. So you can help and help make a difference as well. Mike, thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Guys, I appreciate the challenges to see you two register because you can do it anywhere you're going to be on that day.
Yes, sir.
Right on, sir.
All right, guys.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Lutzenkirchen, guys. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And again, we try to do that with various communities around the city. Mike's down south. I do stuff with Buford High School. I mean, all kinds of places, man. So if you've got something going on, we love high school sports, and we always want to give back. Let us know. All right, Mike, what do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. Remember Sharknado?
Oh, yeah.
The movie Phenomenon?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now get ready for Cocaine Sharks. We had a Cocaine Bear movie.
Was that Cocaine Bear good?
Who saw it?
I didn't see it. We
have one person of the three of us who's seen it. But
it was
anyway.
On Peacock.
Well, yeah, that's strike one right there. We'll get into Cocaine Sharks raging in Brazil. And would you like to swim in the Olympic events in the Seine if the river is filled with poop?
Ooh.
Coming up in Guy Talk next.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes! Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where the players play, and yes, we'll begin our, like, you know when those bands go to Vegas? Our Dukes and Bell residency at the Taj Mahal Hooters, the Hooters
yeah.
Mall in Georgia.
Nice.
Be starting there tomorrow. And Miranda Steakhouse guys will be up there doing the show at Flowery Branch, but we'll have more fun at Hooters. So we'll tell you what we saw. And again, it's a tradition unlike any other, as Carl and I, and sometimes Wes and Arch, will be watching practice, and Carl will then pronounce some poor undrafted free agent a bum.
Bum.
And then generally he can't play. Guy will not make the team. So wait to find out where that will go starting on Thursday when we actually get to see practice. Tomorrow they do report to Flowery Branch.
Bum.
All right. We talked about Cocaine Bear earlier in the tease and the lead up. Apparently a couple guys actually saw this movie, Oren being one, Richie ATL21 the other, said, man, that movie was wild. Bear was wild as hell. You guys got to watch it. Okay.
Okay.
Get
quite
right
the
on
glowing
that.
Endorsement, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get right on that one. We'll see. The reason I bring up the Cocaine Bear, Cocaine Sharks. CBS News reports sharks in the water off of Rio de Janeiro testing positive for cocaine. Marine biologists said in a new study, marking the first time the drug has been found in free-ranging predators. 13 sharp-nosed sharks were taken from the coast off of Rio, tested for the cocaine and other stuff, which is the primary every molecule in cocaine. Each shark's liver and muscles tested positive for high levels of coke. So apparently, whoever is in Rio de Janeiro, and apparently the police knocking on their door, they're flushing large amounts of cocaine into the toilet, which then goes down into the water, and then it is ingested by the sharks, is my best guess.
I guess so. These sharks are not normal sharks. They're insane! So these sharks are ready to party!
Yes. So it's no longer Finding Nemo. It's now Cocaine Nemo. Raging Nemo. It's now it's the remake of Finding Nemo 3. Blow. Johnny Depp will be the voice.
Why are these sharks biting people? They're high.
I used to bring the cocaine for Pablo Escobar with using fish as the mules.
So, oh, man.
Nemo 3. Scientists dubbed the study Cocaine Shark, saying that there may show correlation between the shark's weight and size and how it metabolizes cocaine. Still no idea how that much cocaine could be entering the waterway in Brazil.
That's a lot, man. Right. That's a lot of coke. You
know, last time I checked, Bolivia is landlocked. Maybe the cocaine came from Colombia.
So somebody missing a few keys is what they're saying right now, yes.
Sounds to me like there was a load that got lost somehow and the shark stumbled upon.
Well, Mike, and the deal is they're sealed. Those bags are sealed. Yes. And if you bite into them, obviously I'm guessing you can get high.
Yes. Now, down off the Keys in south of Marco Island, Florida, they used to call it Square Grouper. It would sometimes be packages of marijuana or in some cases cocaine. Those bales would wash. A fisherman would find them. And they'd say, no, I caught some Square Grouper. That was the term. Meanwhile, speaking of water.
What would you do with a bag if it rolled up on you like that?
You got to find somebody to unload it with. You got to find.
And quickly.
So it's not like you go on Twitter. It's like, type, hey, just found a key of cocaine off of Isla Mirada. Anybody want to help me? Unloaded.
That's my thing. It's like I don't even know if it rolled up, and I'd be like, "Is this cocaine?"
No, I mean, hypothetically, if like a large bale of marijuana,
that's different.
I keep that forever.
Different. Yeah, that's different.
I get through it. That just
because, like, do I know somebody that can even move this? Like, who do I call? Who's in my phone I can call right now?
You know what? I think we're writing our script for Finding Nemo 3. Blow. I think this is how it works. And then Nemo gets, was it Dory was the fish? But Dory has memory issues, so she doesn't know where the load went. And
just then, keep swimming.
And then the sharks come in, and there's all sorts of trouble. So I think we got an idea. We got a framework for a script right here. Meanwhile, speaking of Mother Nature, go a little haywire. Whales, large whales, humpback whales, been seen off of Portsmouth. Now, they're usually up in New England this time of year, but getting closer and closer to shore. Just Google whale boat strike today. I'll post it at Mike Bell ATL. A lot of folks are hanging out watching the whales, and there's a fishing boat. Looks like a Boston whaler, pardon the pun. And all of a sudden, they say a young, still pretty good-sized whale. If that's a young humpback, I'd hate to see an adult humpback. They can grow up to be 60 feet and weigh up to 80,000 pounds. It breaches out of the air, smashes down on the transom by where the engine is, and the boat sinks.
Done.
Luckily, there's other boaters around. People just swam over there and jumped on the boat. But that boat's a write-off.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And you wonder, is this a natural? Obviously, we don't study fish, but marine science,
biologists.
Man. But Mike, you wonder if this is a natural thing that happens, and why do they choose certain boats and not others?
Well, I mean, I know with the manatees down in Florida, the boat engines, the vibrations, that it does aggravate the ant. They say the critters. Yeah. So maybe the whale just was territorial. So that's my girlfriend, pal. Expansion the boat. Either way, stay tuned. All right, from waters off of New England to the water streaming through Paris, known as the Seine. Beautiful river. You and I both had a chance to be there. It's amazing. But now they're saying, do you really want to have Olympic events in the Seine? Triathlon and marathon swimming scheduled to take place there as part of the Paris Olympics, where it has been illegal to swim for more than 100 years because of the stuff that flows down the streets, through the sewers, and into the river. Now, the Paris Olympics are just 2 weeks away. Was it Orin the mayor tried to go swimming to prove it was okay?
Yeah, the mayor hopped in the water. It was like, oh, it's all good, guys. Yeah, you can go swimming in this stuff.
Yeah, once you got your tetanus shot, I'm not sure if that's going to be something that the Olympic swimmers or triathletes want to do. Obviously, the vistas and the camera angles would look amazing as you'd have people swimming by, Notre Dame or with the Eiffel Tower in the background. But a lot of folks are saying, didn't they go through the same thing in Japan? Or was it China in one of the Summer Olympics? I think the same issue about water quality for folks to be out there.
Yeah. Well, China was air quality. One year. That's what it was.
But either way, Paris invested 1.4 billion euros to help its storm water drains sort of filter out bacteria. But needless to say, nobody in Paris is going to either fish or be swimming in the Seine. But you Olympians, jump right in.
So, Mike, I watched this dumb movie called Under Paris.
Okay.
It's about a shark in the river.
In the river. In the rivers under Paris.
Yes.
Like we were just on John Wick.
Correct. Right. Yes. And this shark apparently it's mutant, right? It's come from the ocean. And the movie starts where they're out and they're diving and they're trying to attack these sharks. And this killer shark comes up and basically takes out everybody. It's the dumbest thing. I ended up watching it because once I got halfway through, I was like, I got to finish this thing. But it just makes me think about the river and what's in there.
Right. Now, by the way, did the shark mutate to the point where it wears a beret and carries a baguette under his torso?
Well, you know, you've got dumb people like the shark. This girl, she's like, the shark's not going to hurt anybody. And they're like, get out of the water. It's not going to harm anybody. And this shark kills like 30 people.
Yeah, instead of da-dum, da-dum, it's like,
if you want to laugh, I'm just telling you. And you know what? You watch these movies. Obviously, they do the voiceovers. That's right. The other part about it. So, you know, like their lips are still moving, yet the words have already come out. Whoops. This shark is a killer, and their lips are still moving.
I just can't believe you stumbled. It's like a movie Orin would watch.
Dude, I'm
looking it up right now. Thank you, Carl.
Paris. Yeah. I'm just telling you. Get ready for the summer game.
And by the way, I finally got through John Wick 4. It took me like 3 different days of watching that movie to get through it. I love the John Wick initial movies. The fight sequence, just don't get me wrong.
Wait. Take me back.
They never end.
Wick 4, is he in the desert?
No, well, that was the 3.
That was 3.
That's the one with Halle Berry
and
the
dogs. Yes. What's 4?
4 is, well, I don't want to give it away for anybody who hasn't seen the ending, but this is where, you know, the grand table, the high table's got they got, you know,
you're right. It's long, though.
He's in Paris. He's in first. The sequences in Japan are unbelievable.
Where they go around?
He goes to the Arc de Triomphe in a, I forget what the car is, if it's a Charger or a Challenger, without the door. It's just.
You're right.
Some great stuff, but it's like, long. Just please end this movie. But I got through it. I don't want to give off the ending, but it was pretty strong.
It is strong.
Very strong.
That's where he's going up the steps. And
right, at Sacre Coeur. They're going to have the big shootout.
Yeah.
Anywho. Hey, one last nugget for you. This is for guys out there and maybe some of the ladies listening. Has your teenage son demanded a broccoli cut yet?
Which is?
Are you familiar with this? Lando Norris kind of has one. It's just kind of like a really curvy, curly haircut. It's basically teenage kids wanting to get perms these days. Boys.
Okay.
Kind of a stylish look, apparently.
Like a Jerry curl?
Well, yeah, let me find out if I can punch this up on the interweb.
I mean, when you say a perm, what are we talking about?
It's just you give him really naturally wavy hair.
Okay.
Like really curly. Lando Norris kind of has that haircut a little bit. But the reason I bring it up, it's all the rage these days. The broccoli cut is a Gen Z hair trend. It's been around about a couple of years.
All right.
And now it's making it to suburban kids that are demanding. But the problem is it's expensive unless your kid has a job and you're going to go shell out him getting a permanent at a local hair salon to have a soft curl broccoli looking lid.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, the new Superman movie, some of which is being filmed at the Trilla Studios down by me, they got whoever the new Superman's going to be, he's got the same haircut. So the broccoli style wavy haircut's going to be the thing. You found it yet?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, that's your style. Go for it.
Yeah, I see it. I see it.
Like, what was the movie American Hustle, where the Bradley Cooper character, remember he had the perm?
Mm-hmm.
He had, like, the tight curl?
Yeah.
This is not as tight as that.
No,
kind of a wavy
and you've got some, you know, got a lot on top, little on the sides.
Right.
But, yeah, I see it.
Chicks apparently digging. Your kid wants it. So
all right.
There you go.
How much is it to get this done?
What's the average perm cost? I know. I
have no idea. That's a good point. That's
right,
a good call.
Real quick. Question. How much?
I don't know. $70?
Is a perm. $30 to $100, depending on the specific surface in question.
All right. And you need a color with that, right?
Right. Yes. Thanks to Wikipedia. Hey, by the way, President Carter is still alive. False reports earlier today. I know he's been hanging in there. He's been in hospice, and he's been dealing with a lot of health concerns. He's 99, but initial reports the president was gone were false. He is still alive. So there you go. Now you're up to speed.
That is good news. He is 100 now?
He's on the cusp of 100.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we also talked earlier, for guys who missed it, we started the show because Carl had to go to the airport with Trinity trying to get home. I had to make 2 trips to the airport because I dropped my cousin off at 6, and I had to go back and pick him up at midnight because he never got out on Sunday. But the government's looking into a transportation department, looking at what's up.
As they should.
A lot of folks, I don't know, like, I don't want to put anybody on the bus. But anybody who knows anything about the Delta, I just hear a lot about their software, and they need to upgrade. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'm telling them how to do their business. We only fly Delta jets, but
no.
But apparently, their software, Southwest, dealt with this a couple of months.
When
or
you've
years
got
ago.
Other airlines getting up to speed faster
right.
because of the software they use, that's an issue.
Like, I'm not saying Delta's got to upgrade their software, but when somebody down at corporate's got to insert the floppy disk, I think there's a problem.
All right, guys, coming up, we're going to talk about the Falcons. Whose idea was this? Whose idea was it to even broach this such subject? I want to know. I want to know who's responsible. Find out what we're talking about coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.